Welcome, everyone, to Sunday Morning Live, Dharma. This is Reverend Koyo Kobosa here. Well, today is July 4th. 4th of July, right on a Sunday, Independence Day. And, of course, this holiday can be seen, actually, on the theme of freedom or independence can be put in many different contexts. What about in a spiritual context or a religious context? A lot of times we might read in some Buddhist literature references to liberation, freedom, you know, in terms of one's life, living life. What does freedom mean in this context? We can piggyback on Independence Day to zero in on this theme of liberation. Freedom means a peace of mind through spiritual insight. This is where you're freed from being victimized by the sorrow of human existence. From this kind of rock-solid Dharma foundation, then one is truly free to deal with all that life involves. All of our activities around seeking sensory material, pleasures, social, psychological, happiness, personal sources of happiness, our livelihood, our actualization of our potentials, our artistic, our achievement, pursuit of different activities, all these things. If we pursue these kinds of things without a firm spiritual grounding, that's sort of like running on quicksand. So it's really a matter of priority, clarification of most important thing. And it all begins with, you know, how can you go in a certain direction if your cart is facing the other direction? This is a very fundamental thing. You got to make sure your cart is facing in the right direction. See, I just use cart because in the literature before automobiles, you know, transportation was something with pulling your cart. So they expressed it that way. Your basic attitude, philosophy, you know, in life. Not necessarily a conscious philosophy. But what's motivating us? What is our stance? You know, what is our posture? What is our attitude? So you have to be facing in the right direction. Otherwise, okay, and you know what the right direction is? It's inner, not outer. It requires 180-degree transformation sometimes because we're always seeking answers from the outside. We always think our goals are out there, and that's the direction. You know, that's why the saying is, first, know yourself. And what this means is, as a human being, that we are the problem. Oneself is the problem. You know? Our self-centeredness. In a sense, the whole dualistic entrapment. Self and other, subject-object, is to recognize this. Okay. Can get rid of it, to recognize it in a very fundamental way that transforms us. Okay. Then it doesn't matter what kind of activity that's filling your life activities. you'll bring the right understanding and attitude to it. These were some of my thoughts, maybe kind of serious thoughts, but on freedom and Independence Day. Well, today, for our guest, for our Dharma Glimpse, is Joyce Kubose-Prosais, who lives in Chicago, and she's many things, but one thing that is at the center of her life is she's a Channel Yu, or tea teacher, the way of tea, in the Uda Senke tradition, and she also happens to be my younger sister. And so, for today's Dharma Glimpse, Joyce Kubose-Prosais Sensei.
My Dharma Glimpse, Empty Mind. 25 years ago, I was living in Kyoto, Japan, studying Channel Yu, the Japanese way of tea, at the Uda Senke headquarters in their program called Midorikai, which was for non-Japanese students. It was an intense program with all-day classes, lectures in the morning, and tea practice in the afternoon. It was the first time for me to really study something that I was interested in and enjoyed. I had studied many of the tea procedures for making tea, but I knew little of the spiritual foundation of the way of tea. Channel Yu is a lifelong disciplinary practice that's founded on four principles: harmony, respect, purity, and tranquility. It is a practice where one develops these principles into one's life through the simple act of making and sharing a bowl of tea. Harmony is where there is a balance and where things are connected together and support each other. It is oneness in action. Respect is consideration, appreciation, and humility, and it is expressed to all beings and all things. Without respect, there's no harmony. Purity is cleanliness and orderliness, not only physically but spiritually, which means keeping our heart, our minds clean and orderly. We can't live well if our hearts harbor negative thoughts and emotions. We have to clean our house and keep things in order. Otherwise, we are consumed by paper, by dirt, by junk, and it stops us. I think it is the same with our minds. We have to toss out bad thoughts, let go of bad energy, put things to rest, and move forward. The practice of harmony, respect, and purity nurtures tranquility. The tea spirit is the working of these four principles, and it can be the basis of one's life. Living in Kyoto and studying at Uda Senke was the most challenging, inspiring, and life-changing event in my life. It wasn't to go there just to learn how to make and serve a bowl of tea in the context of Japanese culture. It was, as I discovered later, to learn discipline in myself, to learn to be hard on myself and kind to others, to understand what it means to be considerate, to always put the guest, others, first, and to be respectful in all things. Channel Yu is training in developing yourself to live a true, sincere life. I hadn't been at Uda Senke very long when I heard one of the older students there say, "There's no tea spirit here." I was surprised and perplexed. I wondered, how could there not be any tea spirit here? If it were anywhere, it certainly would be here. I just couldn't grasp what he was talking about, and I put it aside. A number of years later, I heard that a student of another teacher went to the Midorikai program, and he had said the same thing. I heard his experience had been rather difficult and negative, and after returning to the States, he gave up studying Channel Yu. Now there were two people who believed that there was no tea spirit at Uda Senke. I wondered what had happened that they believed this. Sometimes our enthusiasm for something is so great that it doesn't meet our expectations, or it doesn't match the high regard we have for it. We feel disappointed and disillusioned. I'm reminded of the story when the student visits the teacher to ask to study, and after talking a while, the teacher pours the student a cup of tea, but doesn't stop pouring, and the tea flows over the cup and onto the table. Finally, the student has to ask the teacher to stop, and the teacher says that he cannot teach him anything because his cup is too full. Perhaps these two tea students were filled with their own knowledge of tea and their own culture and customs to the point there was no space for them to experience the tea spirit at Rurasenke. What a shame to have lost such a wonderful experience. And now I think to myself, how many opportunities have I lost because of my selfish views? This year marks the 40th anniversary of the start of Midorikai. And the lesson I'm going to keep as a celebration of this milestone is to keep my mind empty and open. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, I think, it has often been said that world peace begins with sharing a bowl of tea. Or sometimes it has been said, if you could make a bowl of tea, you could do anything. Now, these are very pregnant statements that require, that has a lot of implications to get the full meaning of it and the full context of such statements. To make a bowl of tea is something much more, of course, than just the technique or knowing or doing it, just knowing how to do it. And I recall when students used to come and take lessons from my mother or my sister, and especially beginning students, they might get enamored of Chano Yu and say, oh, as an activity, as an art. Okay. And say, oh, this is, I like this, and so forth. And then they're in a hurry because they're very goal-oriented. They have a purpose. So I want to get my tea name. And then I want to spend my life doing that. That's very admirable. But sometimes you got a student who says, well, I want to learn how to make a bowl of tea in 6 weeks. I mean, isn't that the classes? I'm trying real hard. I'm really dedicated. I'm really sincere. Don't you think, I should have my tea name in 1 year or, whatever it is. There's a timetable. That's not really making a bowl of tea with that kind of an attitude. Not that we're disparaging too much that kind of purposefulness, because that's where you have to start from. That's how we our motivational formula. Okay. Well, once starting like that, the process should change us, where we let go of that kind of purposeless striving, that kind of means end notion. And we should know how to enjoy a cup of tea together, which means in the tea room, the oneness between server and guest, server loses him or herself. not thinking about, gee, am I doing this right, or you know, how am I doing, but concentrating, identifying completely with the guest. Now, I don't know why, but Channel U, the way of tea is very, it's an art. It's very exacting. It's involved. I know that students, if they're very conscientious, it's sort of kawaiso, a Japanese word for when the student is trying so hard because they're so sincere, taking notes, always being really trying hard to do things right, you could have a nervous breakdown. Where is the, you know, balance of not having to feel to achieve perfection? I mean, sure, you have to aim high. Sure, you don't want to just kind of get sloppy in your motivation and so forth. Yet, that too is part of this process of doing, of being a student. What does that mean? Once it was expressed that the technique, the procedure, the details are so involved that it's almost impossible to do it perfect. It's almost set up to make a mistake. How you handle that, those situations, is the thing. And not just say, oh, I made a mistake, oh, I messed up, I, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's not the best tea master, the tea teacher, is not the one who technically is close to perfection. They know how to flow in that process. And this is about life, isn't it? We all have our goals, our purposes, everything in life, and it's impossible for everything to go perfectly in life. That's not the goal. So I was thinking today, being Independence Day, or, you know, this liberation, this freedom theme, I recall a story about, very similar maybe, when somebody comes to see the teacher and, you know, maybe serve tea. And in this case, the teacher kept pouring the tea in the teacup. On another occasion, a man came and was pouring out his problems to the teacher, and the teacher didn't seem to be quite listening to him. And so the visitor said, gee, you seem like you're kind of distracted. And the teacher said, oh, well, this was in Japan, in a Japanese house, that shoji screens. And you know, windows. And he said, there's a fly. And the fly is trying to get out, and he's hitting the window repeatedly. Anywhere, this is a common scene. Fly hitting that window. Bang, bang, bang. But especially in a Japanese-type house, it's very airy. You know, there's a lot of spaces, and the veranda opens up to the garden, and the fly could easily get out. But he's just banging his head against the shoji screen there. And so the teacher said, isn't that how we humans are? Well, the man received a great teaching. He was liberated. His mind and heart opened up, free. And he could lead a new, fresh, creative life. He was so transformed that this man decided to dedicate his whole life to sharing his experience, transformative experience. So he went on a sort of a traveling lecture tour where he would share this story of his encounter and exchange with his teacher and how it changed his life. And as this story goes on, this man was lecturing in a certain city, public lecture. A friend of his, a businessman who lived in that city, said, oh, so-and-so, he read in the paper, oh, so-and-so was giving another public lecture. Gee, I'm so busy, I can't go say hello to him, but, well, I want to give my regards. So he told his secretary to deliver this gift and give his regards, attend that lecture. Now, this secretary, she had personal problems, serious personal problems. And she was suffering and in pain. And she, in fact, had decided to commit suicide that day. What her boss said, told her, you know, this, if she could do this thing. And so she said, okay, I'll attend this lecture, give this gift to my boss's friend, and then I'm going home and I'll kill myself. So she went to the lecture and she heard this story about the housefly banging against the window and when freedom is all around. And ma'am, it changed her. She heard this message right at the right time. And she went up to the man, she gave the gift, she explained, and then she explained her situation. And she kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And she would say, Namami Dabutsu, Namami Dabutsu, thank you, thank you. You know, Namami Dabutsu maybe could be translated as, I'm thanking Amida Buddha. She was thanking Amida Buddha. She was thanking this man. And the man finally said, hey, don't thank me and don't thank Amida Buddha. Thank the housefly Buddha. So I call this story the housefly Buddha story. And the source of our problems is our stubbornness, just like that fly. A lot of times I take my index finger of one hand and hit it against the palm, open palm of my other hand, sort of simulating the fly hitting a window. Bam, 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 bam. Stubborn. Our own expectations, our own frame of reference, our own self-centeredness. Bam, 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 bam. And we blame, criticize, when it's the opposite. The freedom is all around there. If X is this window, this obstacle in life, we always think X is the problem, but no, it's how we deal with X, how we take it. It's so fundamental. It's 180 degrees, and it's a source of true liberation, which I think is very appropriate today on Independence Day. So that's all for today's broadcast. Put my hands together in oneness and gratitude for our guest, Joyce Kubose Prosai Sensei, and all of you for joining us today. Have a beautiful day.